WMNF Tampa. I'm Duncan Strauss. Really delighted to bring you another edition of Talking Animals, kicking off the show as usual with an animal tune. This is new music from Ry Cooder here on WMNF.
Down on the farm we had a pig, J. Edgar was his name. We'd eat up all our victuals and start back up again. Just like the vacuum cleaners, they sail down in the lane. Well, that's how J. Edgar Hoover got his name. Now Mama baked a cherry pie and set it out to cool, so we'd have something good to eat when we got home from school. J. Edgar climbed up on the porch and ate up all that pie. When we got home that morning, we heard our mama cry. J. Edgar, J. Edgar, just look what you've done. You ate up the cherry pie that was for everyone. We made it through the dusters and the hoppers too, but God help us, J. Edgar, 'cause nothing's safe from you. We had an extra man named Bob, he wouldn't work a leg. He drank bad moonshine liquor and it always made him sick. We rolled church on Sunday and stayed a while in town. When we reached home at supper time, poor Bob could not be found. He wasn't in the parlor and he wasn't in the lane, drinking in the pantry or sleeping in the hay. His hat was in the pig pen that he always wore. Poor Bob won't be drinking moonshine liquor anymore. J. Edgar, J. Edgar, it just don't seem fair. You ate Bob the hired man while we were at prayer. Let's say a prayer for poor old Bob and our country too. God help us, J. Edgar, nobody's safe from you.
That was J. Edgar, animal song by Ry Cooder from his new album, My Name is Buddy, a copy of which, incidentally, will be the prize for naming an animal tune later in the show, as we now ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, streaming live via our fabulous website, WMNF.org. My name is Duncan Strauss, and I'll be here till noon today with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Indeed, the show primarily seeks to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your phone calls and emails, from assorted other sources. But we're also quite interested in celebrating animals through music, comedy, and other means. We've always aimed for a spirited balance of those elements, as you can readily glean if you care to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. Indeed, the website offers archives of all our past shows. And we're now podcasting, baby! Including all our initial programs on WMNF, which have featured an array of illustrious figures from the animal world, or notable folks from other fields who have a legitimate tie to animal welfare. Today's edition very much extends the show's tradition of speaking with fascinating folks from all walks of animal life, with the conversation we'll have momentarily with our guest, Sam Simon, who created The Simpsons, and was also a writer-producer on such shows as Taxi, Cheers, The Tracy Ullman Show, and The Drew Carey Show, winning a dozen Emmys and a Peabody Award in the process. A few years ago, he created the Sam Simon Foundation, which offers a number of programs for dogs, including its Assistance to Dogs program that rescues dogs from animal shelters, humane societies, and other facilities, many that otherwise would be facing euthanasia, and trains them to become hearing dogs for the deaf or hard of hearing. So we'll find out more about the foundation and its work when Sam Simon joins us on Talking Animals in a moment. As always, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. I want to quickly hit a couple of animal news items and announcements, as we typically do. First of all, of course, the pet food recall is you know, obviously first and foremost in the news, including the site of I just had seen. A large veterinary hospital chain says it recorded a 30% increase in kidney failure among cats during the 3 months that pet food contaminated with an industrial chemical was sold. Those results were reported Monday by Banfield, the pet hospital, based upon an analysis of records collected by its more than 615 veterinary clinics. The analysis suggested that out of every 10,000 cats and dogs seen in Banfield clinics, 3 developed kidney failure during the time pet food contaminated with melamine, a chemical used to make plastic, kitchenware, countertops, fertilizers, and flame retardants, was on the market. So, boy, this is just a tough story that just keeps being tough. And luckily, at least at this point, I'd say all forms of media, TV, radio, print, online have been covering it pretty extensively. So, now, sort of for a different slant on a more local kind of story, I've seen a different version of this that presented quite differently. Let me just read a little bit of what the more detailed version has. The Florida manatee, the state's imperiled environmental icon, last year suffered its most dismal year on record. Of a population of 3,200, 416 died in 2006, the highest number of deaths recorded in 30 years. Many died in collisions, of course, with boat propellers. Now, according to an internal memo, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has been drafting plans under which they would lose their protection as an endangered species. The planned reclassification from endangered to threatened would make it easier to loosen the boating speed limits and restrictions on waterfront development, environmental leaders said. And aquatic biologist who served as the first federal manatee coordinator, Patrick Rose, said, "This is absolutely the wrong time to downlist manatees. The terrible thing is, while the last year for manatees was bad, the future could be even worse." Now, of course, other stories I've seen along these lines have said, hey, look, things must be better for the manatees because they're downlisting them from endangered to just merely threatened. So, again, time to contact your local representative. I'd like to hope and believe that Charlie Crist won't really let this happen, but let yourself be heard on this. And lastly, I want to take this moment to mention, of course, the WNF will be holding a fun drive next week, April 17th through 24th. And very important to us because, like most public radio stations, WNF is a non-commercial, non-profit organization that relies on the financial support of its listeners. So I hope you'll call in your pledge next week then to 813-239-9663 or pledge online at WMNF.org. And help us keep all kinds of cool programming on for you. Let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Eddie Izzard with a piece called Talk to the Animals on today's Comedy Corner here on WMNF.
But, you know, whales, they're intelligent. They do whale song. We don't know what it means, but I think that whales are traveling at 78. They're traveling at 78 speed, and if we take them up to 45 speed, we'll find they're actually going, I love you, baby. I love you, baby. Yeah, they're DJs, you see. DJs of the sea. Because sound travels well in water, and they need a big PA to be a DJ, but they've got their whole bodies. Yeah, it works, doesn't it? This next song is going out to all the goldfish down by the Azores. I love you, baby. So they're intelligent, and dolphins, they're intelligent because we all saw the documentary Flipper. Well, dolphins came up going, what's that? What's that, Flip? Chiang Kai-shek is having trouble. Mao Tse-tung has taken over mainland China. Chiang Kai-shek has retired to Taiwan with some of his followers, where they will have a complete disregard for international copyright rules. Is that what you're saying, Flip, or do you want fish?
All right, that was Eddie Izzard, of course, from his album entitled Circle. That was Talk to the Animals, right here on Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. It's 88.5 FM WMNF. Station website is WMNF.org. The show website is TalkingAnimals.net, where not only all our past programs are archived, but many are now available as podcasts in iTunes and elsewhere. Also on our site, there are pieces written about us, pieces we've written, and more, including a calendar of pet events taking place in and around Tampa, and a place to sign up for our email list so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests and remind you when our next show will air right here on WMNF. That's TalkingAnimals.net. It's nearly time to welcome today's guest, Sam Simon, so let me quickly outline a few important details about him. As I touched on a few moments ago, Sam co-created The Simpsons and was also the writer-producer on a number of other top-notch TV shows, winning a dozen Emmys and a Peabody Award along the way. A few years ago, he created the Sam Simon Foundation, which offers a number of programs for dogs, including its assistance dog program that rescues dogs from animal shelters, humane societies, and other facilities, many that otherwise would be facing euthanasia, and trains them to become hearing dogs for the deaf or hard of hearing. So with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org, let's welcome Sam Simon to Talking Animals.
Hey, Duncan.
Hi, Sam. Thanks so much for joining us on Talking Animals.
I'm very happy to be here.
Wow, that's cool, especially because, you know, it's a little early out in the California.
Not that early.
Okay, good. That's what we like to hear.
8:40.
All right, cool. Well, so let's just jump right in because there's lots to talk about and probably not nearly enough time. So let me just ask you right off the bat, you know, showbiz and TV shows, The Simpsons in particular, have been, you know, very good to you. But you know, with the dough that you've managed to accumulate, you chose to create an organization that helps dogs in multiple ways. So why that? Why that outlet for your winnings?
Well, for one thing, I get an enormous amount of pleasure from it. I mean, I just like it. So I to me, it's almost a selfish thing. If someone bought a big boat or they bought a jet, I think I just enjoy this more. The reason I picked the program of which, you know, our first thing that we did was rescue these dogs and train them to be assistance dogs. I used to, when you direct TV, sometimes, Duncan, you worked in TV too, right? Didn't you?
Well, more on the sidelines, let's say peripherally at best. And,
okay.
Yeah.
But if you direct a network TV show, a lot of times you finish the shooting the show in front of the audience at like 2 in the morning, and then the network comes out and they say, would you do us a favor, would you direct the promos? For, you know, because they have to shoot a little promo for the show.
Sure.
And it was presented to me like, will you do us a favor? And, like, it's really, everybody wants to go home.
Mm-hmm.
The actors don't want to be there anymore. You know, I want to have my martini and go.
Right.
You know? And I finally, after, you know, years of this, I said, well, if I said no, what would they do? And the answer was they would hire somebody. So I said, well, I'll do it if you hire me. And I said, I'll give the money away. So I would go to the writer's room, and I found, and I'd say, who wants the money this week? What charity? And I should say I've been on the board of directors of World Wildlife Fund and Save the Children. I try to participate in charities that help both animals and people.
Mm-hmm.
But there was it was very divisive because if some, you know, the person I got to pick that week wanted to spay feral cats, you know, I mean,
right.
That's the thing. They're entitled to do it as far as I'm concerned. But the people that want to do something, you know, that's more, you know, people oriented would get really upset about it. So I thought, why can't there be something that, you know, everybody can just feel good about? And it was kind of hard to find. So when it came time for me to think about something that I personally wanted to do, I thought, here's something that accomplishes both.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can take a dog that's going to be killed and rescue it and train it to help the life of someone with some special needs, to me, it seems like it's a very nice thing.
Yeah, well, that element of the foundation, I just think is, you know, among others, is really particularly cool because, of course, you know, you're helping a dog and you're helping a human, and that's a great sort of 1-2 punch. I mean, when you first kind of conceived the idea for you know, creating the foundation, was the idea of the assistance dogs and the hearing dogs in particular sort of part of the idea from the get-go?
That's or? The first thing I wanted to do.
Okay, that's what it sounded like.
And everything, the other programs and... You were still growing, but the other things, visiting the people in the retirement homes, which has just been one of the most successful things we've done. They just did 2 local news stories about it yesterday, coincidentally. But
to be more specific, what that's yet another program where these dogs are taken to these, you know, convalescent homes, homes where older folks are that maybe don't get out much, and just the dogs get to hang with the people and vice versa.
Yeah,
right?
That kind of grew actually, because originally it was the idea was that older dogs are hard to adopt from the shelters,
mm-hmm.
but kind of the lower energy made them good visitation dog. We thought they would get along better
sure.
with the older people, and we were going to place the dogs in the homes and pay for their upkeep and medical and visit, and this was in retirement homes, and we actually had a deal with a very large chain of them here, and boy, that just didn't work out at all.
Too ambitious, too sweeping.
They would say that they wanted the dog because they wanted it. When people came to, it's kind of a tough business, and I think they would say, yes, we want one of your dogs in our lobby when people are coming to decide where they're going to leave their...
So suddenly dog is recruiting tool.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay,
but then they wouldn't take care of it, and the dogs were being returned for behavior problems that they just developed while they were at these places. So what we did is, you know, one part of the training of the assistance dogs is they have to go out on visits. You know, we have a couple dogs, but now we've incorporated that into it, and I've just hired more people that can, like training assistants, I guess you would call them,
mm-hmm.
So they, you know, they go for an hour a day to these various places, and it's the most popular program at any of the convalescent homes. I mean,
the
seniors just love it, and it's therapeutic. It brings back memories of their own pets and animals that they knew growing up, and they really look forward to it. So
sure.
It isn't what, you know, it's with a lot of these things, you know, I just had ideas, and, you know, some of them have been, you know, actually none of them have been like, you know, instant hit the ground running successes,
sure.
But we've worked them out, so they're really going well right now.
Yeah, there's sometimes those things you either back into something or there's a bit of a learning curve, as you've just described. But,
yeah.
I mean, I can imagine that the connection between those folks that are otherwise maybe don't have much, if any, in the way of visitors and those dogs must be just so powerful and poignant.
Yeah, it's very touching.
Yeah.
Someone just made a big poster blow up of one of our little dogs in the arms of this elderly woman, and it's... I don't know. It's really nice.
Yeah. Well, let me just let our listeners know this is Talking Animals on WMNF. We're speaking with Sam Simon, who co-created The Simpsons, but more to the point for our conversation at the moment at least, created the Sam Simon Foundation, which is, by the way, at samsimonfoundation.com. And we're just talking about some of the programs that the foundation offers for dogs. So if you'd like to join the conversation, 813-239-9663, or you can email a question or comment in for Sam at dj@wmnf.org. So, Sam, at this point, I mean, as you say, you're sort of kind of, you know, winding your way through and finding what sort of programs and services are most effective. What are some of the others? We've talked briefly, at least, about the assistance dog program and the visit to, are there other things at the foundation?
Well, probably the most people work on our mobile spay-neuter clinic.
Yeah, I'd like you to talk about that because that sounds really cool and effective in all kinds of ways.
Yeah, it's if people go to the website, they can see a picture. We have this magnificent machine. It's a mobile operating theater. You can actually, it's human friendly. It's registered for some national disasters if they need it. But it's we designed it. They made it for us, and it's got, I think we have 27 spots, 27 cages for low-income families that can, or low-income dog owners and cat owners. And we do feral cat days. We just show up and start neutering. And it's had a very significant effect on the number of euthanasias in the L.A. city shelters.
No doubt. So basically, this vehicle sort of travels around and does, is it low cost or actually free spay neuter?
It costs $0 and 0 cents.
Right. Wow. That's fantastic. And how many in a given day or week would you say are performed?
I think we did 6,000 this year.
Wow.
And maybe more. And which it's our goal is 27 a day, and sometimes we do a little more, and sometimes we do a little less, but you know, that's about what it is.
Yeah, well, that's quite a few, and just if you start to, crunch those numbers, I mean, that is just significant, obviously.
Yeah, the Amanda Foundation does it as well, and I don't know if I'm... A large chain of pet stores is actually going to be coming in and doing a lot of low-cost neutering. So
yeah,
I personally can't go to. I think I've been to the shelters 4 times in the 5 years we've been doing this.
Oh,
I
really?
Just personally can't take it.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's very rough.
Yeah,
and but. You know, these and L.A. City is, you know, it's a big place with lots of dogs running around but I think things are going to change very dramatically. I think these numbers are going to come way down.
Well, yeah, if you're maintaining those kind of numbers and other organizations are able to even, you know, approximate those, that's really going to make a dent in the pet overpopulation problem.
Yeah,
so.
I think this Ed Boakes, I think he's doing a pretty good job. I mean, one thing that I, like you say, you never really know what is going to happen when you get involved in a new, I remember
sure.
when I started in boxing and I started meeting all these people, it's just a new world
to step into.
And, I know it's very contentious. I mean, these people are very passionate and it's really surprising how, some of them are a little rigid. And
yeah, yeah. No, you got to sort of...
From my personal standpoint, the new dude in L.A., Ed Boakes, is doing a good job.
Oh, cool. Well, there's a number of calls here, not surprising, Sam. Let's at least try to take one or two here in our remaining time. Hi, you're on WMNF with Sam Simon and Talking Animals.
Hello, me?
Yes, that's you. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, me. I'm Noah. I'm here in Tampa. And I'm a member of Florida Voice for Animals out here. Animals are part of the Vegetarian Society, and I really watch your show a lot there, and I like Lisa Simpson there, and the girl over there that plays on Friends there, and all the vegetarians. I appreciate your efforts there that you do there to support the neutering of animals, because I'll be working at it at a level there, too, because I got a lot of ferals in my yard. I got a trap, and I've got it through the society here in Tampa, the Animal Coalition of
okay.
Tampa. And it helps out there. I appreciate your efforts. Keep coming back, Noah.
All right. Thanks very much for your call, Noah. Sam, just a few more questions here and probably a couple more calls, hopefully, before we have to say goodbye here. But if I'm not mistaken, the foundation is funded strictly by you, correct?
Right.
So is there any, term or period for that funding, or is it established in such a way that'll continue, indefinitely, or?
Oh, yeah. No, the foundation is my primary beneficiary. I mean, yeah,
mm-hmm.
The foundation is very well set up.
Cool. Because the chief reason I sort of ask in a way is that the foundation does not accept donations, which I mentioned primarily because
I did that just because I it kind of goes back to what your first question. I wanted to do things that I wanted to do. I didn't want to, you know, have some board telling me it doesn't make sense to spend all this much money on.
Right.
I mean, listen, you know, we get some of these little dogs and they need surgeries and stuff. And, I want to do it. I just want to say, go ahead and get it a new...
Right. Well, no, which I totally makes sense, but I also want to mention that the flip side of that really is very significantly the exception to the rule, and most such facilities rely heavily on contributions, donations. So we want to urge those listening locally.
I just had a profile on 60 Minutes, and there was never a time I was happier I made that decision.
Oh, really?
Make donations.
Yeah.
When 60 Minutes was there, they are known for hard-hitting investigations.
Right. You don't want to have to open your books for Morley Safer, though.
Like someone that's, misusing other people's money. I'm just not with a lot of money.
Right. Well, there you go. Proudly so. But, we just want to, just to finish that thought, I just want to urge those listening locally or online, wherever you are, to support your local shelter, sanctuaries, organizations.
I'm a PETA fan if they want to send it there.
Yeah, but just wherever. Or, of course, any donations or by volunteering. Because, again, most organizations aren't as fortunate enough to be in the position that the Sam Simon Foundation is. So, we're just in the final moments of speaking with Sam Simon here. If you want to try to get in a call here, 813-239.
Are the boards flooded?
There's calls, and we're going to try to get to one or two here. Some have come and gone as we've been chatting, so that's okay. I'm sure some will be back. You can also email a comment if you'd like, a question to dj@wmnf.org. But I think for many, just on a slightly different topic, for many listening and really for myself, frankly, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about your thoughts of the Simpsons movie. Do you think this thing's going to be good, great, not so good?
I have absolutely nothing to do with it.
Right. I just wondered if you had any kind of gut instinct.
A lot of my friends worked on it.
Sure.
I've seen some clips of it on American Idol. Don't know. I wish it the best.
Okay. Cool. Well, here's a call.
Homer is attacked by wolves, and we're animal fans, so we know that never happens. But
right. There's another episode of Talking Animals. Okay, let's take a caller. Hi, you're on WMNF with Sam Simon and Talking Animals.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on.
Yes, this is Jean from Sarasota.
Hi.
I have traveled recently a number of places outside of the United States, mostly the Caribbean and Central America. I just came back from a manatee study in Belize, and whenever I'm in these other places, the horrible situation with feral, unneutered dogs especially is overwhelming, and I'm wondering what can be done outside this country. There's a lot of resistance, and especially the Catholic countries, to having the male dogs especially altered. Is there any direction that we can go, or an organization that we can turn to try to get some work done on these third world dogs and cats?
Wow. Well, that is a huge question. I mean, I know what you mean. There are some significant sort of cultural barriers to spaying.
Yeah, there are huge cultural differences between the way dogs are treated all over the world. And I know, I mean, the one thing is, because we've talked about it at our meetings, and there's some places that are, if you're a dog lover, that are really upsetting. But, there are things besides spaying and, bringing dogs into vets and surgically changing them. What can I say? It's the same as a lot of issues.
Yeah, I mean,
what's different about America and other places?
That is something, caller, that we will try to tackle in another show. And one thing I just will say quickly, and then I'm afraid we're out of time here, is that one thing that the Sam Simon Foundation also does is makes posters, kind of spay-neuter in both English and Spanish, available for organizations.
Oh, that's a really good point. That was a successful program, and there's been a resurge of interest in our posters. I managed the heavyweight champion of the world, Layman Brewster.
Yeah.
And we got, because there's resistance, in various communities because they want their dogs to be unaltered and tougher. We got some world champion boxers to pose with some shelter dogs.
Yeah.
And they are a bit, and to give information about why it's good to neuter your pet, and they you can actually download them and print them from the website, samsimonfoundation.org, or if you email us, we'll send some out for you.
Yeah, it's very...
Leila Ali, who's on Dancing with the Stars, she did one. She was great.
Yeah, no, it's very cool, and at least in this country, it would help kind of bridge some of the cultural resistance. So so thank you, callers. Thank you, Sam Simon, for all your great work and for joining us today on Talking Animals. I wish we had more time to talk about boxing and other things. Perhaps another time.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Thank you, Duncan.
Okay, take care, man.
Bye.
Okay, I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals at WNF Tampa. The show website is talkinganimals.net, where I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email newsletter, subscribe to our podcast, check out our calendar of Tampa pet events, make suggestions for future guests or topics, check out written pieces, photos, and more. That's talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune, like pretty much any other name that tune game, except that tunes are always animal-related. There'll be a prize, a copy of Reichhuter's new CD, My Name is Buddy, which is full of animals and animal songs, and of course, a provocative parable as well, and a fantastic album. So, for the first person who calls in and can name this animal tune at 813-239-9963 and correctly identifies this animal tune, let's name that animal tune in WMNF.
And she's fashionably late. She'll never wreck a scene.
All right, well, if anybody knows it, they can call in. We have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. Program airs monthly, specifically the second Wednesday of each month, so we'll be back May 9th. I hope you'll join me then. Meanwhile, please visit our website, talkinganimals.net, and send any show-related email to talkinganimals@aol.com. And it's WMNF Tampa. Stand by for the NPR News.